Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
It's great to be with you at Southeastern this morning. Thank you, Mr. President, for your kind introduction. I love Danny Aiken. I love Southeastern Theological Seminary. I've sent my students here for years from the church I pastored. I don't mind telling you, I also personally send money to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary because I believe in what is happening here. And I'm going to talk to your president later about some people I'm already talking to about giving a lot more money than I can give to this school because I believe in what is happening here. And I thank God for you and your being here today. Bless you. I'm new at my job, and I would appreciate any prayers you have because my job is a difficult one, but what I'm trying to do is be the CEO, and I mean by that the Chief Encouraging Officer of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I want to encourage people to do what I just said. I want to be the chief fundraiser for the mission boards and seminaries of our convention. I want to encourage pastors and churches. By the way, I also like to encourage people to give their lives to Christ. I love to share Jesus with those with whom I have come in contact. I may tell you a story or two about that later, but I want to be the chief encouraging officer, and I want to encourage you today. And so I hope that will happen. God bless you, students and faculty and staff, Mr. President, here at this seminary. My job is somewhat challenging because I am trying to reach out to what we might call legacy churches, people of a more traditional mindset. By the way, the vast majority of money that comes to the school still comes from those persons. And trying to relate to them and reach out to them and appreciate them, at the same time trying to reach out to a generation who are totally different in their mindset, their understanding of many things Baptist, but trying to reach out to them to show value and worth to them of working together. Now, I will tell you, friends, and this may shock you, I don't know, but I am not in this to build up a denomination. I don't really care a whole lot about that, to tell you the truth. And I'm not supposed to say that as the person in my position, probably. I am in this to build up the kingdom of God. And you're not going to be hearing me telling you you ought to support the cooperative program because that's what it takes to be a better Baptist. I don't think you really care about what it takes to be a better Baptist. And guess what? I don't either. But I do believe that we can do some things together that are exciting. I just want you to know, as the president of the executive committee, I'm doing everything I can to lower bureaucracy, to increase transparency, integrity, and trust. And I ask you, as the next generation of ministers, to work with us, to see the value in working together and to see the good things that are being done and to work from the inside to change that which does need to be changed. And I think we can get some great things done for the kingdom of God. I want to speak to you today briefly. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Unlike a lot of preachers, I stop when I run out of things I know. And for me, it doesn't take long. Really. But I want to speak today from 1 Samuel chapter 3 on the call of God. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why Christianity is not being heard as well as it ought in our 21st century culture is because many of us are not heeding the call of God. And the people with whom we come in contact sense and see that. It's been said that people in the 21st century, more than any other, value the authenticity more than any other generation. I don't really agree with that. I've never known a generation that did not appreciate authenticity. But I'm going to tell you, perhaps they're even more attuned today to spotting those who are not walking the talk, who don't seem to have a passion from the inside for what they're saying on the outside. I believe we desperately need a return to an understanding of the call of God. And so, we're going to read today from 1 Samuel chapter 3, but before we do, I like to begin with a story. This is a funny story, but it's one with which I can identify. It's the story of a little old lady that had come to the point in her life, physically, she couldn't get out much anymore. She still wanted to do something special for her children and grandchildren for Christmas, so she did go out and buy a bunch of cards, and then she wrote out a sizable check. She thought, well, you know, they'd probably rather have money anyway, which is true. She wrote out the sizable check, but then she wrote out a sweet card to every child and grandchild. It said something like this, "Dear child, grandchild, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I love you. Signed, Grandma. P.S. Please buy your own present this year." Well, Christmas comes, Christmas goes, and about the end of January, she's cleaning up her little desk, and to her horror, you know what she finds on the little desk? All the checks she had written that she meant to put inside the cards. So every child and grandchild had gotten a card for Christmas from Grandma saying, "Dear child, dear grandchild, I love you. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Signed, Grandma. P.S. Buy your own present this year." With no money with which to do so. Well, I'm convinced that's what we've done to our nation. I'm convinced spiritually it's what we've said to our world. Have a great life. We love you. Find your own way. Find your own way. And that's what they're trying to do with no success. I was on the airplane I'm on the airplane every day. But I was on the airplane just a day or so ago coming from somewhere to somewhere. I was flying to Nashville to somewhere. I'm trying to remember now. It doesn't matter. It was a bumpy, bumpy flight. A young lady, the guy beside me wouldn't talk to me. You could tell he just had no interest in talking. But the lady, a young lady, very young to me, probably 28 years old, across the aisle, a Vietnamese girl, toward the end of the flight, she was frightened. You could tell that she spoke to me. I could tell she knew the man to her left, later to find out that she worked with him, Presbyterian man from Charlotte. And she said to me, she said, "Well, I'm so glad I'm going to be able to get off this plane. I don't have to fly again today. How about you?" I said, "Yes, I have to fly another leg." She said, "Well, I will pray for you." I said, "Well, I really appreciate that. Who do you pray to?" She said, "I pray to Buddha." I said, "Well, I never had anybody pray to Buddha for me before. Can I tell you about who I really think you ought to pray to?" "Sure." And I got to share the gospel very briefly with her, and I was able to leave a gospel tract and say to her, "Honey, I hope you can find truth, the truth." You see, she had been trying to find her own way, going to that which she knew, thinking that she could find some kind of peace in her life, but couldn't through praying to Buddha. Let me tell you something, friends. We've said to our world, by not sharing the good news of Christ with an authentic life behind it, we've said, go find your own way. Buy your own present. And I believe there's a desperate need for men and women of God who will live out the call of God. Quickly, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in verses 1 through 14, we see that famous passage about the call of young Samuel. And it says in verse 1, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli in those days." Now, this is one of the saddest verses in all the Word of God. "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call, go and lie down.' And he went and he lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and he got up and he went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call, go back and lie down.'" In other words, leave me alone, I want to sleep. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, but Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, you call me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel. Go and lie down. And if He calls, you say, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant heareth." Your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end." Then real quickly, look at verse 15. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors to the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son," he said, "here I am." "What he has said, what was it he said to you?" And Eli said, "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you ever so severely if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Verse 19 is important. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet from the Lord. Now look at verse 21. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel. How? Through his word. The story of Samuel is a powerful one. Awakened from sleep yet four times, the boy Samuel finally comes to understand that God was calling him. And I think in this brief passage we see something powerful about the call of God. Now you would not be in this place, by the way, if you were not able to in some way articulate a call that God had brought you here as a staff member, as a faculty member, even as a student. You had to articulate some kind of unction from the Lord for you to be in this place. I believe the Scripture teaches us here and in other places that the call of God comes for many reasons. It is not singular in its nature. It is multiple in its call, in God's call. The call of God comes for many reasons. Now we know from experience as well as scriptural understanding, the call of God is multiple. It comes to call us to purity. The call of God calls us to warn us from time to time. The call of God comes for holiness, sometimes for direction. But the call comes for many reasons. And we see in this text, first of all, that God called this young man to be saved. Scripture says he did not yet know the Lord, but God called him into a relationship with Him that was precious and pure. Aren't you thankful that God called you to be saved? Now I know there are Calvinists here today. And I know there are non-Calvinists here today. God bless both of you. I'm one of those groups. I really am. But I will tell you what I do agree with with my Calvinist brethren and sisters is that God is the one who does the saving. And that God is the one who does the calling. And through His wonderful Holy Spirit, He woos us into a relationship with Him. I don't agree with some of the rest of it, but I do agree with that part. And here God calls this boy to be saved. Well, that is consistent with Scripture because, by the way, in Romans chapter 1, verse 2, 6, the Bible says we're called to be Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, the Bible says we're called to be saints. In Romans 8:28, we're called according to His purpose. So God has taken the initiative. God has reached out to you and me and drawn you into His kingdom. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was born in a little town about 70 miles south of here you've never heard of. But I was raised in the Greensboro area in a home that was not a happy home, that was not a believing home. But God reached out to my little heart after a sweet older couple from the church invited me and my sister to go to Sunday school and vacation Bible school. And God reached out to my little heart and said, "I love you. Will you be mine?" And I gave my life to Christ. Let me tell you, God calls us to be saved. And God was calling that young Vietnamese woman to be saved there on the airplane. God's still calling people to be saved. God has taken that initiative and He is reaching out to win this world to Christ. And I encourage you to be involved in sharing the good news. It might be on the international mission field. It might be in the North American mission field. And it might be right where you are. I was also on the airplane the other day going from Salt Lake City to Denver, I think. And it was a short flight, but I was with a young woman and a man about my age, not young. His name was Howell. Her name was Claire. And I got to sharing with them. We began the obligatory small talk as the flight began. And then they asked me a question which often ends the conversation. What do you do for a living? Well, that changes all the conversation. But I said, listen, I got a new job. I really don't know what I do yet. But I said, if you could tell me, do you have any kind of spiritual background, it'll help me describe my job to you. Well, you know what I was doing. Well, Howell said, and he didn't know who I was yet, he said, well, I'm saved and I'm a Southern Baptist and I go to a Baptist church in New Mexico. Well, God bless you, Howell. That's good, son. But Claire, about 28 years old, not about, she was 28, she told me. She gave the typical 21st century, 20-something answer. She said, well, I'm a Christian, I think. I said, well, honey, that's good. Down south, we say, honey. I said, honey, that's good. Are you a member of a Christian church or a Christian denomination? She said, well, I don't even really know what that means. I said, well, okay. She said, well, what were you talking to those people in Utah about? I said, well, Claire, here's what I said to them. I've never done this in a witnessing conversation quite this way. I said, wherefore, seeing we're encompassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. Claire began to weep. I said, honey, please don't cry. She said, why not? I said, because if you cry, I cry. I'm a crier. I was just telling Danny, I was reading a sweet book about a couple that were divorced, got remarried. Anyway, I cried. I had to stop crying. I said, I don't want these people around here looking at me cry. So on the airplane, I was sitting up here in front of you crying again. Using the napkin, trying to look like a man, you know. I said, Claire, please don't cry. She said, why? I said, because if you cry, I cry. And I don't even know you. She said, I can't help it, but please don't stop talking. Well, I kept on talking. God was calling Claire to be saved. She gave her life to Christ. By the way, she sent me an email the next day. I got it right here somewhere. Entitled, Best Airplane Ride. She said, by the way, when I got off, I called my mother immediately after getting off the plane. My first words to her, Mom, my life has been changed forever. I love Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something. God called that sweet child to be saved. It was one of the sweetest things I've ever seen. Let me tell you something. God's calling people to be saved. God's calling people. Some of them, it takes longer than others. I like to tell the story of a young man named Stephen. I witnessed him for 16 years. He's one of the hardest-headed, sorry things I've ever seen. But let me tell you, I loved him as a lost man. Led him to Christ last year, by the way. Baptized him. Took 16 years. I prayed for him every day. I called him the last Saturday of every month for 16 years. Guess what? I still call him. I still pray for him. But now I pray for him as a saved man. God is calling the lost to be saved. He called me. He called you, didn't He? But second, I want you to see real quickly, God also calls to offer His loving care. Not in this passage, but in others we know experientially. God calls us and says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're fixing, that's what we say in South Carolina, to go into ministry. And I hate to tell you this, but it's not always going to be easy. Now you know that. You've been in church before. And sometimes I believe, it's not said so in the Scripture, but I believe sometimes when you really accept the call to ministry, Satan puts a target on your back. And friends, it will not always be easy. There will be opposition come from places you never thought opposition would come from. There'll be sorrow in your life, and I know that. You heard your president say that our oldest daughter died November of 2009. Tragic death. One that I will never get over. Once a lady asked me, she said, well, how have you handled it? I said, ma'am, haven't handled it. I handle it every day. A grief that is beyond words. But I will tell you, I will confess to you, the Lord has never given me more grace than I need, but He has never given me less than I need. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, Jesus said. He calls us to accept His loving care, and that is a call that you will never, should never, ought never forget, that He will be there for you in the good times and the bad. God calls to save. God calls to offer His loving care, but also God calls to service, doesn't He? God calls to service. Little Samuel received this call, and it was not just a call to salvation, but it was a call to service as well. Now Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that little Samuel was 12 years of age when this happened. We don't really know that for certain. In the Hebrew, the word simply means one not yet mature. That could apply to several of us here today, couldn't it? But God calls us to service. Indeed, we know God is calling men and women to serve Him. Now, why would He do this? That's His business. He could get His job done without us, but He's chosen to use us. I believe God wants to use Southern Baptists. He doesn't have to. He could go around us, but I don't want that to happen. I want Him to use us. God calls us to service. And God's call is upon you. And I will ask you today to be open to His call, whatever that call might be. I'm aware that in our seminaries nowadays, very few of you believe God is calling you to a traditional church. Why? I'm afraid some of you have been in traditional churches. That's reason enough. Why? You don't want to be. But I ask you to go even against what you want and say, God, where do you want me to be? It might be in the toughest. I have never gone to a healthy church, ever. Maybe that's God's hand of judgment upon me. I have never gone to a healthy, growing, soul-winning church. But some of you, if you want to go to church, they say, that's the only one I want. Let me tell you something. But I've seen God turn unhealthy, inward-focused churches to become mission-minded, witnessing, soul-winning men and women for the gospel of Christ. I believe there's a call of God upon young men and women to serve in churches that everybody else has given up on. Do I believe in church planting? My last church planted one local church a year. When I got there, they had not planted a church since 1864. I said, we're going to start one a year. They looked at me like I'd lost my ever-loving mind. Well, years later, after we started one a year, they begin realizing this is what God wants us to do. It's not both. It's not either or. It's both and. It's not either or. It's both and. I believe God calls us to service. And that service is in places where we might not ever want to go. Quickly, let me tell you, that call is best perceived. Though it comes for many reasons, in many ways, it is best perceived by the prepared heart. In fact, look back to the text and you will see young Samuel was impressionable and tender. He kept running back to Eli. One of the saddest phrases in all the Bible is verse 1, because it says that in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. I'm going to tell you that's true today. I see little visionary leadership. I see us doing what everybody else does. But I see few men and women who are really visionary about doing what God has called, even when it runs contrary to conventional wisdom. The sad thing is that this call came to Samuel because it could not go to Eli or his sons. I don't have time, but you need to understand that neither Eli nor his sons were in a spiritual condition to hear the call. They had committed egregious sin against God. And so because of that sin, there was a vacuity, a lack of ability to understand the call. And it went to this boy named Samuel. And I believe the reason it came to him is because Samuel had an ear to hear. He had spiritual eyes to see the vision of God. He had a will that was in harmony with the will of God. And so he finally was able to say, and with authenticity, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I pray that today every man and woman in this place would be able to say that with a heart of absolute openness. Lord, speak, for your servant hears. I'm listening, Lord, whatever that call might be, wherever it might be, to the ends of the earth or to the end of the road. I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. Is the Word of God rare in this day and time? All too often it is. I believe the call of God comes best to prepared hearts and impressionable hearts. Hearts that are open to the still, small voice of God. Hearts that yearn for God to speak. Is your heart impressionable? Are you really open to do whatever God wants you to do? Can you say with authenticity, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth"? Quickly. The call of God must not go unheeded. We may ignore His call. And some do so brashly. Others through a quiet rejection. But it must not go unheeded. We must not be like the rich young ruler who went away sad because he had rejected the call of the Lord Jesus. But I pray we would accept it. And I pray as a result, what happened in Shiloh will happen in your ministry. Well, look back to the text in 19 and 20 and 21 and you'll see something quite interesting. As Samuel matured, his reputation grew. In fact, it's interesting. The Bible says, he grew. He let none of God's Word fall to the ground. And so divine fulfillment occurred. It says in verse 20, all Israel recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of God. And the Lord continued to appear where? At Shiloh. Shiloh lacked the prophetic credentials of Jerusalem, lacked the vestments of the priesthood. But it was at Shiloh where God's Word was most powerfully felt. You may think God has called you to the armpit of the world. And there are days when you will want to give up because of what is happening in your life, your family, your ministry. And you may be in a Shiloh, not a Jerusalem. But maybe it is in that Shiloh where God's Word is attested to. It may be in Shiloh, like with Samuel, that is the place where God sits down and visits. It may be at that place that no one would have chosen. In the backwoods of some country place, or the ghettos of some mega city, it may be in that place where God shows up. Why? Because you were able to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Because you were willing through an impressionable heart to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to go where you call me and I'm going to stay where you called me until you call me to go somewhere else." And I believe the Word of the Lord can be attested and can grow in that place. Your ministry can be attested as a prophet from the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And look at that last phrase. And there He revealed Himself. There He revealed Himself to Samuel. How? Through His Word. Hear the call. Heed the command. Hear the call. Heed the command. And don't let any voice come up into your heart or your mind to dissuade you from the call you know to be from the Lord. Heed the call. Hear the command. And can you say with me today, "Oh Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." May I be so close, so right, that I'll not have to listen for it, and I'll have to hear it four times. I'll hear it the first time. And I'll know it's from you. And I'll hear, and I'll listen, and I will obey. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the call upon Samuel. Lord, I'm sorry that often I've been like Eli when I needed to be like Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.